morning, Mr. President.
Hello, Ben. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. Thank you. I've just talked to Harry McPherson and understand what you and he talked about this morning. I'd like to give you, however, my own personal assessment of this. I think that now I'm not urging you to come to the conference at all. I think this is really a matter for you to decide. If you should feel that you would like to come to this conference, it's my best judgment that the way and the best way for you to come would be starting off this session this morning, which would mean being here, well, obviously we would hold it at your convenience, but somewhere in the neighborhood of 9:30. It's called for 9 o'clock, and we would start it immediately thereafter. It would be my thought that I would start off by announcing a change in voting procedures. I would immediately turn to Mr. A. Philip Randolph, who would immediately rise and introduce the President of the United States. You would make a statement if you were so inclined and leave. And at that moment, I would adjourn the meeting, the plenary meeting, the meeting of the totality, and suggest that everybody then go to their workshops and start the business of the meeting. It's my best judgment. It's impossible to guarantee the situation because there are always irrational factors at work, but it's my very best judgment. If it were done in that fashion, there is an absolutely minimal risk of any unpleasantness. No hostilities really have built up yet. Nobody has been denied anything. While hostilities may build up, they would build up after that, in my opinion. And I just put that to you, as I say, I'm not urging you to come at all. I think it would be, in a way, a good thing for you to be here, but that's a judgment that I obviously am not qualified to make, and you are. But were you to come, were you to want to come, I think that you could come as the opening speaker, in effect, with minimal risk.
Well, I appreciate so much what you have done and the enlightened leadership that you've given and how constructive you've been. I'm quite depressed at the headlines and the attitude of the McKissicks and the other people, the snake people, because I'm very fearful they'll drive us back to where we were 100 years ago. We'll try to do things rash, and then they'll have a foot put on their neck and be quite fair, because I'm already experienced a good deal of that on my housing proposals, and my folks are just quitting us like flies. And if they go to, these people go to quitting, why then we can't do much for them. And I very frankly, I don't feel agitated myself to get up at daylight to people who say I'm rigging things and things of that kind. Now, let's evaluate it. Harry felt very strongly that I shouldn't come.
Yes, he told me so.
I don't want to go against his judgment. I wonder, has Nick Katzenbach taken any reading of this situation out there?
Nick has not been here, except he stopped in at the reception last evening. But he, no, sir, he has not. He has not taken the reading. Well, Harry suggested that if I had a different point of view, that I ought to communicate directly with you.
What would be the effect of not coming?
I think that, I don't think, sir, that the effect of not coming would be fatal at all. I wouldn't want to put it to you in those terms. I think we would do our very best to handle it. There are other occasions where you haven't appeared. We have never in any way suggested that you might appear. So there would be no appearance on your part by not coming of some change in plans due to McKissick or Snick. None of these things would be true.
The press keeps saying that I'm expected to appear.
Well, we have consistently said, everyone in any kind of a position in connection with the conference has said that we did not expect you. There were no plans for you to be present.
What would this appearance do to the Vice President's appearance?
I think were you to appear, obviously the Vice President would have to be postponed to some later meeting, or this would be regarded as a replacement of the Vice President.
Now, he's got his speech out. It's on radio now. I've been hearing it for the last 30 minutes on the various news shows, CBS and NBC, and all along with McKissick's rig in charge. And do we gain enough to justify the chance, Ben? And if so, evaluate that for me.
All right, sir, I will give you my best evaluation of it. I think that a strong speech by you could change the whole spirit of this conference. Right now, I think there is a feeling of a dispiritedness about it. I think that the feeling is that not that the majority of these people want to go along with the McKissicks or the Corps, or the SNCC, but that at the moment I think they feel they don't know exactly what to do about it, and I think it's extraordinarily hard here to help them to help themselves right now. I think that a good, strong statement by you here could galvanize the thing. That's one side.
Have you seen the statement they prepared?
Cliff has seen it and tells me that it's quite good. I have not seen it.
I did not feel that good, that satisfied about it.
I see.
Go ahead.
Well, that's about it. I think otherwise, I'm not prepared to write this conference off. Even if you don't come, I want to be perfectly candid about that. I'm hopeful that we have a lot of good people working here, and I would be hopeful that we would still come out of it, although I certainly would not want to pretend that it's going to be easy. But I would not want to write it off, and we would do everything we could not to write it off. But there is no doubt that the President of the United States is a very galvanizing and vital factor. But again, I don't have enough confidence in my own judgment to evaluate all the circumstances around a President of the United States to say that you should come. If you feel that overall you should not, we will work this thing out to the best possible way.
Have any idea what Randolph thinks?
I'm sure that Mr. Randolph would think that it would be very, very desirable for you to be here. No doubt of it. But again, I don't. What I'm really saying to you is that if you think you would like to come, in my judgment, this is the right time before things crystallize in jail.
It's going to be pretty difficult for me to get there in that length of time. That's number one. Number two, I hate to just throw the Vice President around. Now, when would you put him back on?
Well, I think if we were to do that with the Vice President, I think we would have to.
He's due to speak at 9, isn't he?
He's due to speak in 15 minutes. Or 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. Quarter after 9. Well, you sound to me, sir, as though your best judgment is against it. And I don't really want to not because I'm concerned about the responsibility, but I don't have enough confidence in my own judgment in dealing with the person of the President of the United States to urge you against your own best judgment.
Well, I had made the other decision, and I'm just trying to think it out as we visit here. And I'm just trying to think, where would we put him? Could you go into panel sessions and have him speak 11 or some other time? Or could he follow me?
Well, I'm a little concerned about extending the plenary session this morning, and I would be, I think, a little concerned about having the Vice President follow you, because we might be conceivably opening up the situation. I think my own view is that following your speech, I would adjourn the meeting of the whole and have people then go to their workshops.
All right, then where would you get back to him? I don't want to, you see, I have a lot of sympathy around town. They say I show up at Gridiron and he's supposed to make a speech. He's relegated to second-class citizen, and I throw my weight around and I'm gone. this poor man is deprived.
All right, there's no reason, sir, why the vice president couldn't follow you. None at all. I don't think that, again, we're dealing with calculated risks involving irrational people, but I don't think these people would, I cannot believe they would interrupt or be disrespectful to the vice president. And we would then adjourn this meeting immediately following the vice president. Following you, Mr. Randolph would introduce you, I would introduce the vice president, and we would immediately adjourn.
All right, I'm going to have 5-10 minutes to think it over. We're going to get back.
I'll give you right here in my room, which is B-720.
B-720. Where was Harry?
Sheridan Park.
Was Harry at home?
He was at home, and he's probably on his way down.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.